Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer for Windy City Gridiron, and I'm joined by the editor of that fine website, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, I mean, did you expect this? Because I certainly did not expect the Chicago Bears to walk into New England on Bill Belichick tied with George Halas and come out with a victory. What about you?
Yeah, I never expected. I thought the Patriots were going to beat the Bears pretty good. I think I did pick the Bears to cover, but that was my fandom coming through, I believe, there. But I thought the Patriots were going to beat the Bears pretty bad. I mean, it's Bill Belichick, defensive mastermind, you know, and Justin Fields has not been the greatest passer this season. I thought they would really take it to the Bears and just kind of, you know, take away what they wanted to do, and that didn't happen. And the mini bye that the Bears had there, they took advantage of it, and they came out with some new wrinkles in the offensive game plan. And I think it's funny because Bill Belichick talked about how great the Bears running game was. And then that's exactly what happened. It was kind of interesting and kind of fun as a Bears fan to kind of watch that one play out.
Bill Belichick talked about a lot of things that the Bears did well. He talked for 7 minutes at the podium, over 1,000 words about all of the great things the Bears did, including Trenton Gill, how good he is in the kicking game. Just mentioned everything about how good the Bears were, and his team didn't take it seriously, as no one on social media did either, right? Now, Bill Belichick is a master of doing that to every single team. People were like, so amazed that Sean McVay, remember this when McVay, the Bears played the Rams and McVay kind of went through and named everybody on the roster and they're like, whoa, he can do that. And it's like, yeah, Bill Belichick's been doing this for years. And he's like, you know, just complimenting every single piece of the Chicago Bears, a team that he plays once every 4 years. Right. And he, you know, he probably knows where all of them went to like high school, right? Like this guy's just, he is an encyclopedia. He knows everything. But I don't think that they expected this kind of effort after what the Bears showed the previous Thursday against the Commanders, because that was a team that was pretty flat, came out pretty lifeless, and was not able to put away a bad Commanders team. And here they come out, they've got a fresh approach, they've taken a real hard look at their roster, made a couple changes, which some of them didn't last very long, but they made a couple changes, and they were pretty impactful in terms of what they were able to roll out. And we'll get into some of those today, but big picture, this looked like a team that was not ready to end their year early and go into hibernation, you know, by Halloween. This was a team that wants to come out and fight and play some good football. And they sure showed that on Monday night.
I mean, the Bears are 3-4 now. And I mean, it's, you know, they got some wins we didn't expect them to get. And, you know, I mean, it's still a very young team, and it's a team going through a lot of changes here, but the coaching staff, I think, has shown that, you know, they seem to have a good plan in place, and they're able to adjust on the fly. They're able to adjust, you know, week to week and during the games as well. So I think the Bears are in a good place right now. It's, again, this could all change next week if they go out against Dallas and get smoked, but right now the arrow's pointing up from our fandom as far as our confidence in the franchise goes.
It just feels good to be able to end a three-game skid and be able to come back and win a big game like this on the road. You're starting to wonder if they were going to be able to do anything on the road. The road games have been particularly tough for them in the early going. This looked really good. Also looked pretty good in the trenches. So let's start there. Portillo's Trench Tribute this year. Every week we're giving away a $100 gift card to Portillo's. Got a few more entries last week. Love to see it. I expect there to be more entries this week because there are a lot more choices for your Portillo's Trench Tribute or just Player of the Week. You can pick anybody. Hit us up on social media, wherever you get your Bear and Balance. Send an email to 2ndcitygridiron@gmail.com if you do not have social media and want to just enter that way. Whatever you do, let us know who your Portillo's Player of the Week is. We'll get you entered for that $100 and we'll get it out as soon as possible. We'll get it out before the end of the week because I need to make sure I get it in the mail before Saturday so you guys can get out and spend that money. Your turn to go first this week. So let's start it off. Who you got for Trench Tribute?
I have two players down, one offense, one defense. Okay. I feel like I'm more skewing to, because I'm an offensive guy. You know, I'm an ex-O-lineman. I feel like skew more towards the O-line. So I'm going to go defensive line this week. I'm going to go Justin Jones. It wasn't an overwhelming a stat line. He only had two tackles, but he had two passes batted down. He had a fumble recovery. But I kind of watched how he played, and one thing we talked about a couple weeks ago with a couple other guys on the defensive line is they would get washed off the play. Justin Jones held his own. He stayed where he's supposed to be. He is shooting the gaps, you know, but he's not over-penetrating. I thought Justin Jones, he seems to be coming into his own at that three-tech spot. I'm not sure he's a long-term answer. I think the Bears may want to go out and try and upgrade that spot, you know, in the offseason, maybe in a draft. But for where he is right now in his career, I think Justin Jones is a good player for the Bears, and I thought he had a pretty good game on Monday night.
I thought the entire defensive line all chipped in with a play here and there, right? Yeah. He had Justin Jones had the fumble recovery and made a couple of nice tackles. That Armon Watts had a really nice tackle pretty early in the game where he stood up Andrews and sort of held that point and was able to just slide off right at the right time and make that tackle for little gain. It's a very nice play by a defensive tackle there, exactly what you're seeing, as opposed to previously where he was kind of being dragged down and making that play, you know, 4 yards, you know, for a 4 yard gain. He was making it at the point of contact. So that was a really nice play. Now, Dominique Robinson had the big tip. Quinn, you know, had some pressures and looked pretty good there. So like Travis Gibson, right? Like he had a big play. So there's some like really nice plays all the way around from the defensive line. Felt like that everybody kind of got a hand on something. Everybody contributed a little bit. So that was really cool to see. I think on offense, I would assume Tevin Jenkins was the other name that you might have had.
That was my other name, yeah.
Okay, so I think we got to at least acknowledge just how well he has adapted to the guard position, how good he's playing right now. We've been talking about it the whole year. He continues to get mentioned in this space. You know, I kind of called him out last week for throwing his defender at Justin Fields' knees. Again, you know, 6 inches away.
That's a no-no, yeah.
Ending the season. So, like, hopefully that got talked about in the mini-buy. I also just want to mention, like, Michael Schofield, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, he steps in. I thought he played pretty solid football. I'm sure that I could go back with a fine-tooth comb and find things that weren't good. But overall, like, he wasn't sticking out like a sore thumb. That's pretty good for a guy that hadn't really played yet, who got ate up in the preseason and kind of just got lost his starting job right away because of how poor he started. This is a professional football player that's been around the league for a while. He's a hometown kid. He wanted to play for the Bears because that was his team growing up. Again, rough start for him to kind of have a position and then lose it, but got an opportunity to play here, and I thought he played pretty solid. I thought it was worth mentioning here as well. So a lot to choose from. Which is great. Yeah, there's fun. A lot to choose from in other categories as well, which is great. It's been so much better than previous weeks. But that's where I'm going to. I think the guards deserve some love here, some trench tribute. So we will leave that here. We'll go on to the tweet of the week. And again, I'm going to have you start. It looks like we kept it in the home park here. We both picked fellow contributors.
So. It's all in the family here. I got Jacob Infante, of course, who is at Jacob Infante 24. The Bears didn't allow a single point against the Patriots in the second half. They have now allowed an average of just 5.28 points in second half through 7 weeks. He says, kudos to defensive coordinator Alan Williams and a young group of defenders. So, I mean, it's true. I talked about a little bit last night. I was on the post game with Robert Schmitz, and we talked a little bit about how Alan Williams kind of changed some of the stuff he does here. You know, he is blitzing a little more. He is doing a little more stuff up front with trying to create different pressure packages when he has a chance to. But that defense really coming around. I mean, it's one of the from the numbers only. It's around a top 10 defense. I'm not sure about the DVOA. That's a little more accurate to kind of look at those things, but the points allowed, the yards allowed, you know, they're doing a pretty good job there. And you know, Alan Williams hasn't called plays here since, I think, 2011 to 2012 with the Vikings. So there were some questions about him, if he can kind of, you know, what he will do. And I think Matt Eberflus put his trust in him. And I think he is showing that it was warranted because he's doing a good job calling plays for defense.
Yeah, I think it's been pretty fascinating to see just how good of second half adjustments are made. A lot of football games, the second half adjustments really favor the offense, right? Like the defense comes in, it's usually kind of like a early in a boxing match where the guys are kind of bouncing around, they're trying to feel each other out, you know, can my jab get in there, right? Like what's working, what doesn't? And then as the game goes on, the defense gets tired and the offense has figured out kind of where to push the buttons. It's kind of, you know, the the biggest example of that is that Kansas City Chiefs Buffalo Bills game last year, where it's like every time these teams get the ball, they're going to score a touchdown, right? The you know they know all the buttons to push, and the defense is tired, game's over, right? The Patriots in the Super Bowl that one year, where it's like, well, they're going to win because they won the coin toss. Like whoever wins the coin toss is going to go down and score a touchdown, and so a lot of times you see that, like you see where the offense is the one that's really benefiting from the halftime adjustments and the game wearing on. The Bears defense seems to somehow benefit from a halftime and somehow just like get better as the game goes on. You don't see that very often. You don't, no. But this is if that's true, if that's going to continue, that's an amazing asset to have because that's how you close out games.
You know, I think part of it is because they rotate their D line so much. You know, it's not just the tackles, it's the D ends too. They're four deep at each spot and they rotate those guys pretty good. They want to keep everyone fresh. And I think that bodes well, like you said, for the second half, that's when an offense usually starts wearing down a defensive line. And we're not seeing that happen so far this year anyway. And I think that's good. You know, you mentioned a few guys at the top, you know, Gibson, Robinson, you know, Jones, Blackson has looked pretty good this year, you know, so they're really rotating those guys to try and keep those guys fresh and then let those the guys in the back end, you know, do their job too.
Well, my tweet is from Aaron Lemming. He's at Aaron Lemming NFL. He says, fun fact, kicker Cairo Santos has been 67 out of 73, which is a 92% conversion rate since taking over as the Bears kicker back in 2020. So, you know, Cairo Santos was signed in the middle of the year. Eddie Pinheiro had that injury. He couldn't get over that. I believe it was like a groin injury or something like that. Santos comes in, you know, he had been injured in Kansas City. It was kind of like, Cairo Santos, you know, yeah, maybe. And then he just kept making kicks. And it was like, who is this guy? Wait, let me look a little deeper at Cairo Santos. And it's like, oh, he was a pretty good kicker. Cairo Santos is really freaking good. And he was nails on Monday night. He's been nails all year. He's 11 for 11. He missed the one game for personal reasons. You know, somehow they signed a guy that, what did he, go 4 for 4 or whatever?
Yeah, Badgley, yeah.
Like what is happening here? Bears have suddenly figured out the kicking position. You know, this was like the original sin of the Ryan Pace regime was cutting Robbie Gould. You know, walking in, it was like the first thing he did. He's like, I'm not paying for a kicker. Cutting Robbie Gould, get him out of here. And then it was like, oh no, what do you do now? And it's just been this kind of odyssey. And then now Cairo Santos has really settled that. And he's been fantastic. And he deserved a little love for this game too, because you know, if you miss one of those kicks, that really does change the dynamic of the game. But he just kept hitting them in the rain. You know, that had to be kind of a soggy pitch there. And he's able to, you know, have good footing and get the ball through the upright and pretty good rush, too. Like they had overload on the left side. You know, clearly they saw something on film where they're going to try to sneak a block. And, you know, he was able to hit all four of those field goals last night. And he's just been great since he signed with Chicago.
You know, you mentioned the when they got rid of Robbie Gould, Santos is one of the guys he brought in. He, I think, spent like two games with the Bears in 2017 and it might have got hurt again or it just didn't work out. And, you know, then they brought him back again for the second stint and we're like, oh, this guy again. And yeah, this guy again, you know, he's done a great job. He's earned his big contract. And, you know, it's nice to know that the Bears have a guy that you don't have to worry about. When, you know, we went through a few years where it was always a concern, you know, the Augusta Silent stuff at training camp, trying to find their guy. And, you know, it's just, it was comical, you know, thinking about it, but you know, these are things that good teams don't have to worry about. You know, you have a kicker in place. That's his job. He does his thing, you know? So maybe now the Bears at some point when they are good again, they'll have, hey, we got Santos. We're good there. We got Patrick Scales snapping really good. And of course we have the guillotine punting the ball. So our special teams are going to be solid. And the rest of the stuff kind of just fall into place.
Yep, absolutely. Guillotine didn't get a lot of work last night, which is also a good thing. It's okay when the punter doesn't.
Kicking, yeah,
the punter doesn't have to work much. That's okay too. Let's move on to caught up in a numbers game. Our stat of the week. What number did you pull?
My number is 181, and that is the rushing yards per game for the Bears this season, which leads the league. And there were a few other nuggets there. Did you have something on that one?
No, we're number one.
That's number one, yes.
Sorry, putting up finally. A one.
So then, of course, a Pro Football Reference mentioned that this is the Bears just the fourth team since 1984 to average at least 181 rushing yards per game. Hard Rock Sportsbook tweeted out that the Bears have rushed for 200 yards in consecutive games, which is the first time since 1985.
Oh.
And then Bet365
for any team or for the Bears?
You know what? Probably that's a good question. Probably for the Bears. Yeah, I can't imagine that no one else has done that. And then Bet365CA said the Bears are the only team in the NFL currently with three players averaging over 50 yards rushing per game. That's Montgomery, Khalil Herbert, and Justin Fields. So the running attack has just been on point for the Bears, which is, you know, obviously that's what you want for a young quarterback. You want a strong running game. And then eventually that will now transition over and make things easier for your young quarterback to kind of do what he has to do through the air.
I like that. I like that a lot. Now I'm wondering how close those three guys could get to 1,000 yards. That would be pretty cool. I don't know the last time the Bears had 2,000-yard rushers. That'd be kind of fun.
Have they ever had 2,000-yard rushers? I'm sure they must have at some point in their life.
I don't know. I'll have to go look. Man.
That's a good question.
I'm sure Jack.
I was thinking the same thing.
Like, oh, guys, come on. Of course, you know.
Yeah.
1958, right? Rick Casares went in, you know, whatever. Anyway, Jack would probably know. I pulled a stat. I believe Kevin Fishbane tweeted out something that kind of caught my eye. And so I was thinking about this going into this week, but Bill Belichick against first and second year quarterbacks at home as the Patriots head coach. So kind of a very specific stat, but home game, you know, going into Foxborough, Bill Belichick is very good. He's very good against young quarterbacks. He's very good at confusing them, very good at game planning. This is why I was, very worried about what he could do to Justin Fields in this offensive line. But the stat was that Bill Belichick coached Patriots teams at home against first and second year quarterbacks were 42-3 going into this one. So it's just for the fourth time that a first or second year quarterback was able to go into Foxborough and beat a Bill Belichick coached team, just to go show you just how hard that was. The Patriots are not they're not a dominant team this year, but they're not a bad football team. And that defense had been doing work. For the last few weeks and was really beaten up on people. So there's no discount in this. There's no like, Bailey Zappe. I mean, hey, they pulled Mac Jones for Bailey Zappe. That's a whole nother conversation. This was a real accomplishment by Justin Fields and that offense, taking it to a defense that had been doing quite well. Shut out the Lions, who looked like they were doing great. They, really held the Browns in check, who honestly are built kind of like the Bears with a really good running attack. They kept them in check. So this was a real accomplishment by this Bears offense and Justin Fields.
Bill Belichick's always been able to take away what you want to do. That's kind of been his forte through the years. He can do it. And with a young quarterback, you know, they don't usually do a lot of things well. So the fact that Justin Fields can go in and they kind of had a different type of offensive game plan, I don't think the Patriots were expecting it. I mean, Bill Belichick talked about it, but the way they kind of showed it, it wasn't exactly what they were expecting because there were so many designed runs. It was just a fun game plan by Luke Getsy.
Absolutely. Let's just roll right into the Fields report. So Justin Fields, final line, not very big in the passing game which you might expect, but 13 of 21 for 179 yards, one touchdown, one interception. The interception was the glance off the hand of Judon and kind of went right into the corner's hand. Took four sacks for 32 yards. Sure that you can get into that a little bit. It's a little bit too much. Could have definitely avoided those by getting rid of a couple of them. Logged 14 carries for 82 yards. Credited, at least on the site that I was looking at, with four fumbles. I believe that they credited him with the fumbles on the pitches that got fumbled by the running back. So there is that, a little sloppy there, but it's, wet game. And I believe you and Robert talked a little bit about how Fields maybe has hands on the smaller side of things, and that might be affecting his ability to grip the football. But I broke down the runs just because I was curious how many times he's scrambling versus how many times they were actually calling the run. So I counted up 5 designed runs out of that 14 where it was called in the huddle that Justin's getting the, you know, going to take the football. So those quarterback sneaks, not quarterback sneaks, but quarterback draws, I should say, the quarterback powers, those designed runs for Justin Fields. I had 5 of those. I had 3 read options. So this was he's reading a player. If the player crashes down, he's going to pull it. He's going to keep it. If the player stays put, he's going to hand the ball off to the running back. He kept 3 of those. I had 2 quarterback sneaks for him, which is, you know, just trying to get a 3rd and short pickup. 3 scrambles, and then the 1 knee at the end. So for the most part, the runs were largely called. Yeah, you know, by Getsy, or, you know, it called as a read option. So the 14 is a pretty high number for a quarterback to run the football, but it was by design. And you think about how good that was for Jalen Hurts, how good that is for Lamar Jackson. I think they may have done a little scouting of some of those teams to say, like, hey, we've got a guy that can do this too. How do we incorporate some of that into our game plan? That was really the highlight for me. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't his game in college. But
right,
he's doing it now in the NFL because he has that kind of size. He has the kind of speed. He has the kind of athleticism. So I think that's what you want to do. You want to see that happen there. And I think Fields has been he shows that he can do that. So why not let him do that? You know what I mean? I mean, if he can do that, then if he can stress a defense in other ways besides just with his arm, that's what you want to see. And yeah, the scrambles are nice. And I've never been a guy that wants to run your quarterback like on a lot of design runs. I think that's just, you know, a guy like Lamar Jackson, I mean, that's his thing. That's what he's used to. You know, a guy like Michael Vick back in the day, that was his thing. That's what he's used to. Steve Young, I mean, that's what he was known for back in the day. You know, but, you know, Justin Fields, I think every now and again, you have to sprinkle those in. And I love the design on some of the plays, too, because there were a few times where they would pull both the backside guard and tackle. It kind of gave like a counter look. And I could just envision the plays off of that. You know, Justin Fields kind of going to one side with a quick handoff to the guy coming back the other way. It's just the way it looks to the linebackers and to the safeties and stuff when they're watching the play in the backfield. I just envision where this offense is going, which is one of the reasons why I was excited to see the kind of the Shanahan-esque style, because so much stuff plays off each other. And I think the future of this offense is going to be really exciting.
Yeah, like you talked about, you run a play and you can see the counters and, you know, the deeks off of that. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's exciting. So often in the previous regime, there'd be a play and that was like, hey, I designed this beautiful thing on the whiteboard, but it doesn't connect to anything else. And so now, even if it worked, it's not going to work in the future because it's scouted out. Someone's going to see it and they're going to point and they're going to say, hey, that's that play we saw. And they're going to know exactly what's coming. Whereas here, it's like there's so many options off of this that you can mix it up and you can dress it up and you can change things and you can really fool them. You can show like, hey, we're running this and we're running it well. You put it on film the next week, you run the counter off of it because they're going to bite. One thing I noticed that I really liked on a couple of these plays, he's so good about keeping the play alive by yeah, like evading pressure. But there was one play early in the first quarter. He rolls out but he keeps his eyes downfield. And what I thought Belichick was going to do is that I'm going to dedicate a spy. I'm not going to let Justin Fields beat me with his legs. And that looked like they did that a little bit early on. And so he Fields like steps to the line, like he makes like he's gonna scramble. That draws the linebackers up, which then provides some space for him to pop it up over the top. He's able to throw it over to ESB there for a nice gainer. That's what you're talking about, where they have to think about it, they have to respect it. So they call a defense to try to contain it. He makes like he's gonna he's pressuring that line. He's putting that linebacker in a no-win situation. They, you know, those linebackers step up to try to make the play. And that puts him out of position to defend the pass, and he drops that in there. That kind of stuff was happening, and that's the kind of stuff you like to see. He had that N'Keal Harry pass was a nice ball. He had that ball to Mooney that looked really good on the sidelines, right where he's rolling, and he fires it in there. There's some good stuff. So I think largely really good. I would say that the one bad throw that I was I kind of looked at, I ran it back a couple times. It was a little behind Mooney on a ball.
Yes.
But I was kind of curious.
Boot. Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of curious on your thought though. It looked like Mooney took his route and started drifting upfield as opposed to maybe slowing down and trying to attack the ball. And you see that, you saw that a lot last year where there would be receivers that would sort of just drift as opposed to fight at the point of the ball. And that allowed the corner in this instance to undercut that route. And he really could have intercepted that ball. That was a lucky that they got away with that one, but you know, a little bit like the receiver needs to kind of fight for the ball. They you know, don't need to drift upfield, particularly when the ball's a little bit off target. But I was curious if you saw the same thing or what you saw on that ball to Mooney.
Yeah, it's a lot of times in those things you have to really cut that angle tight. You know, come back to sideline if that's kind of where you're throwing it. And like you said, it did look like he kind of drifted a little bit. So yeah, I'm kind of with you on there.
Overall, I think a lot of people are saying, this is the huge step forward that we're looking for. This is the breakout. You know, this is a big deal. I don't know if it's the breakout yet or anything like that because they're not huge passing numbers. But this is a really nice game. This is a really complete game. I'd love to see, you know, a 350-yard dominating passing game at some point, right? But this is a really nice game against a good defense, and they were dictating the terms of engagement all night. And I think that is the important takeaway here, is that the Bears offense was taking it to a good defense.
It was an efficient game by him, and like you said, it was a complete game because he showed it with the run and the pass.
All right, well, we'll leave it there. We're going to come back after our break and talk about everybody's favorite segment, the Three Bears. All right, Lester, we're back. So let's talk about the Three Bears. So hot bowl of porridge, cold bowl of porridge, and just right. A lot of options for the hot bowl of porridge in a game like this, but who did you want to reward here?
You know, I had a couple guys written down like I did earlier at Trent Tribute, but I'm going to go linebacker Roquan Smith because he did something that has never happened before in the history of the Bears franchise, according to the team site. 12 tackles, a sack, an interception, and a tackle for loss. And according to the Bears team site, that's the first time in Bears history a player ever got that stat line for them, which to me, it seems kind of weird because it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. Oh, is there a caveat to this? What do you got
here? I have to at least jump in here and say, okay. You know, sacks have been an official stat since 1982.
Yeah, it's not. It's
tackle
not
a, for yeah. loss has been an official stat since I don't even know when. I think later than that. I think like in the 90s or something.
90s that came into vogue, yeah.
Okay, so those are two things, right?
But we're still talking 90s. We're still talking at least, you know, several decades
The other thing I'll say is it says first time a player's ever had that stat line, which means like, well, did somebody have a sack of an interception, a tackle for loss, and 13 tackles and eight tackles. Like, I don't know, two sacks. And like, I didn't really understand the way that it was worded. It felt a little like
the wording was strange. I was assuming it was like it makes sense. Like that's like that's the baseline. Like no one's ever hit these things. That's the way I took it. But like you said, the way it was worded, it makes you think like, well, did Urlacher do like 20 tackles one time and do the same thing? I don't know. So, but regardless, Roquan had a really nice game. It was a national stage, you know, and he was kind of called out a few times with some games, but I think he's, you know, he's had more good than bad now, you know, and I saw something else on Twitter. I forget who sent it out there, but they said that when they had a chance to go back and watch the all 22, cause it's out for some people. They said he was playing some at the wheel and some at the mic. So he's kind of playing a little two position stuff. And, you know, I think that's more of a matchup thing maybe with the Patriots, but I think it's interesting to show his versatility.
Absolutely. I think that that's good. I think putting him in a position to succeed is a good idea. And that actually rolls into my hot bowl of porridge. And I'm going to give it to the Bears coaching staff. When's the last time that a Bears coaching staff came out of a bye or a mini bye like this is where you're coming off that Thursday night game and actually look like they made real changes that worked in a football game? I don't know. I really do not know the answer to that. I mean, is it Lovie Smith era. I mean, it has to be a really long time for that to have happened for the Chicago Bears. The defense looked like they made good adjustments. Like they really were trying to put players in a position to succeed here. I like what, like you said, the defensive coordinator has been doing, and it looks like, you know, Kyler Gordon starting to you know, take off and look more comfortable in his role as a rookie. Jaquan Brisker, you know, looked pretty uncomfortable for a few moments there because of Mac Jones, but overall, like, you know, paid him back and had that incredible interception. But he, you know, he's looking good. And then a lot of these other players, these, you know, the defensive line rotation and some of the schematic stuff that they've changed looks to be working. Great. Okay. Defense looks good. What about the offense? Boy, Luke Getsy really making some changes and for the better, and calling a good game and kind of understanding some flow here. You know, Matt Eberflus, you know, aggressive or, you know, smart, you know, trying to squeeze field goals on out of some of these drives, right? So a lot of this stuff just looked good. Took a team that looked really beaten down, coming off of a tough home loss, and really reinvigorated them. And I just think that this coaching staff deserves all the respect in the world for doing that.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, they all did a great job. I mean, the special teams, they made a change on special team. They took Bayless Jones off the punt return, kick return, because he had some issues. And I thought Pettis, who had a bobble, of course, of what's going to happen. But he had a couple nice returns. Khalil Herbert had some nice returns in the kick return game. They did put Bayless Jones back there for one of the kick returns, but it was a touchback. So it wasn't like he was completely taken off the unit. They kind of said, hey, we're going to give these guys a chance. We'll rotate you in. And they did that. I think that's a good thing from the coaching staff as well, to kind of say, hey, we still believe in you. Just, we want to give these guys a chance to kind of show what they can do, but we're going to put you out there for a chance every now and again. So I think at some point Bayless Jones will get both those jobs back, because, you know, you can't coach speed. He's got that 4.3 speed. And I think it's good to have him back there. He's a different kind of threat. But like you said, man, the offense, the defense, they just did a great job in making these adjustments. And the Nagy era was defined by, you know, it's like, did they ever win out of a bye? I mean, I'm sure they must have won. It was 4 years, but, you know, I can't think of one off the top of my head that he actually won one out of an actual bye. This wasn't a real bye. That was called the mini bye, because it was Thursday night, then a Monday night. But it was still, they took advantage of the extra time, and they made necessary changes. And, you know, even at center, Lucas Patrick going there, didn't last, but, you know, I thought the few reps I watched with Patrick looked pretty good. Hopefully the toe's not injured too bad, but it was fun to see them make changes.
Well, let's flip it around. Let's talk about the cold bowl of porridge. So who did you identify here in a very good game? It's hard to do this part of it, but there are certainly a couple guys that maybe deserve a little bit of calling out here.
Now I'm gonna preface this by saying he was facing a Pro Bowl talent. So he kind of did what I thought he would do. But Larry Borum, he had a rough game. I mean, he gave up some sacks, gave up some pressures. You know, his stuff in the run game wasn't as crisp as we've seen in the past. He struggled a bit, you know. But Matthew Judon is a really good football player. He's doing it for 6-7 years now. Like I said, he's a three-time Pro Bowler. So I wasn't surprised that Borum struggled a bit. But again, when the Bears have such a good performance, you know, some play like this where he wasn't as good as everyone else, it kind of stands out. So that's why I got to go Larry Borum this week.
Yeah. I mean, it felt pretty obvious going in, right? I mean, this was a real mismatch. You know, we had a little sidebar with some of the podcasters, and EJ said, you know, man, Borum's getting beat. I'm like, yeah, man, it's a mismatch. Like, I mean, this is not good for Larry Borum. You know, they needed to have a real plan going in to be able to give Chip help. And you know, when he didn't have that, you know, it stood out. I mean, Judon's a really nice player, and he really took advantage of the tackles in this one, but particularly Borum, you know, got him leaning and then shot back in with a nice speed, you know, stab step and coming back in. It's just a really impressive player. He's really good at football, right? Good. Like, and so that is what it is. Like, you know, Borum's just outmatched, and totally agree that, you know, that one stuck out. Couple for me, I had Borum written down in case you didn't mention him. Eddie Jackson, I think that was a blown coverage. I'm not going to know for sure. He certainly bailed back on that, but, you know, not diving to touch him while he's down, allowed him to get up and make that lunge into the Jacoby Myers lunge into the end zone for the touchdown. You know, it didn't end up mattering, but at the time it sure felt like it mattered. And just, you know, it almost felt like old Eddie there. Like it wasn't, you know, quite as aggressive enough. And the blown coverage is what it is. I don't know if that's what it was, or if you just like, you know, bailing back or whatever. But almost that like lack of effort there in the last split second felt like, oh, Eddie, like, what are you doing, man? You gotta, you know, you gotta make the effort there. And then I was just going to call out the poor nutritional plan of Lucas Patrick, or the lack of calcium. Like, what is happening with these digits, man? Like the thumb injury and now a toe injury. Like, Patrick, like, let's drink some milk, man. What are you doing? Eat some spinach.
The toe injury is no joke. I don't know if you ever had a toe injury or know someone that had a toe injury. Like back when I was in college, I did a speech actually on turf toe, because I did a thing on AstroTurf and I looked in the turf toe, and it's not called that anymore because it can happen on any surface. But if that's what it is, it's basically you're jamming the toe. And I'm going to talk more about this with Dr. Mason West on my show if he's back from Disney. I'm not sure what his schedule is, but we'll talk to him. And if not, he may mention it on his show on Bare Bones. But yeah, if it's a toe, I mean, that's depending on severity. I mean, that could be rough. We could be in for more Sam Mustipher moving forward here.
There's some Sam Mustipher's doing voodoo on something. I mean, it's insane. I don't really understand it. I would imagine that having your toes feel good is pretty important for an offensive lineman. So I would think that this is a real thing that we're going to have to worry about. So hopefully it's nothing too serious and he can get back, because I did feel a little bit more comfortable in that first part of the game when he was in there. I was like, oh, yeah, look, he's looking all right. But anyway, man, Bears need to figure that out, or he needs to eat more spinach or whatever the heck he needs to do. So just crazy. All right. Just right. Who did you have for this?
I just mentioned him, and he's Sam Mustipher. I know he came in. Look, he is a reserve player. This is who he is. He does not. Yeah. I think he's a backup.
So, I agree.
Again, the spirit of the just right, as a reserve, he came in and did his job. He wasn't flawless, because there was that one play, the first sack Justin Fields took, where he was kind of wandering around. I don't know what the hell he was doing. When I was watching it live, you really could see Justin Fields cock the throw to Sam Mustipher at one point. So I mean,
yeah, because what are you supposed to do in the scramble drill as a wide receiver is you're supposed to like show your numbers to the quarterback, right?
That's what they say. Yeah.
Show your numbers. Here's Sam Mustipher. Here's 67, Justin, if you need it. Like, what are you doing?
That was such a strange play. I mean, like, if you just watch him from the snap, like, he didn't block anyone. He just kind of wanders around lost. Like, he just didn't know where he was going. But besides that play, though, there were other plays where Sam Mustipher, there was a couple times he buried his guy. And I'm like, that's Sam Mustipher. And Sam Mustipher talked about it that, you know, and I think it was the Sun-Times, I had an article. He was a little pissed off that he was benched. And I'm like, really? I can understand him being upset, but he had to see it coming. I mean, they signed Lucas Patrick to take his job in the offseason. So you kind of figured that was coming. But, you know, then he went in and, you know, he didn't complain publicly. You know, he just kind of, whatever, put his head down. And like I said, in the spirit of the Just Right Bowl, here is a guy that was benched. He belongs in a bench. He's a good – if he's your top reserve, that's fine. I'd rather see a better guy. But, hey, he came in, did his job, and I thought in some of those run plays, he did a good job at the point of attack, which he hasn't really done a lot this season.
My coach would have said in game film review, 67, buy a ticket, right? Yeah. Like, you're a spectator. What are you doing? But the whole, like, he totally showed his numbers to him like a receiver would. Get out of my face. Like, what? I think that Fields ended up taking a sack.
A sack there, yeah.
I think it was just because he was so confused. Like, he was ready to dump it off, and he's like, why is Sam Mustipher sitting there?
He was wide open in the flat, though. It would have been beautiful.
I would have been amazing if he would have thrown it to him. Like, I just think it would have been
Bears things. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like throwing it right at. What are you doing there? Why are you standing there like you're a tight end, just like trying to get an outlet? That was amazing. That would have been really funny. For me, this should have, this This could get a hot bowl of porridge. Okay. I get it. But for me, Bears defense forcing three interceptions and recovering a fumble feels just right.
Yeah.
You know, like Bears football, Bears defense, turning the ball over, right? And like really like dictating terms on defense. That feels just right to me. And I know that that's not, and you know, four turnovers is not going to happen every week. Like I get that, but it just felt good. It felt right to me. And it felt like I was back in home. It was, I'm watching Urlacher. I'm watching Tillman, right? I'm watching these guys that were so, and you know, we love that era. We loved watching that defense. That's what it felt like. It felt like these guys were getting after it. You know, they're tipping the ball in the air. They're making big plays. Like that play from Brisker, fantastic. That play from Gordon was really good. Yes. That wide receiver is really, really fast. That's what he's there for. So like he got tracked down. I get it, but like he's going to probably score on that one, you know, 8-9 times out of 10, but it was just a good play. Both of them, you know, put one hand on it and, you know, grabbed it in. Like that was fantastic. You know, the tip ball and Roquan underneath it, like fantastic. Like I loved it. It felt right. So the Bears defense turning the ball over gets my just right this week.
I like that. You know, and then about that Gordon interception, you know, someone I mentioned saying that it seemed like Kyler Gordon was like Keith Tractor Trailer, how slow he was going on the sideline. And I'm thinking, slow? The guy that caught him runs a 4.240. That was Tyquan Thornton, right? I mean, he's a 4.240.
Tyquan Thornton's one of the fastest guys
in the world. Yeah.
It's a relativity thing, right? Like, you know, I mean, if you know, if you and I are sprinting next to each other, no offense, Lester, but you might make me look kind of fast, right? Yeah, but probably, like I'm slow, you know, like I know that I'm not going to be able to beat much of anybody. So, you know, if I ran against Tevin Jenkins in a sprint, Jenkins is going to beat me, even though he's got 100+ pounds on me, right? Because that's just where he's at. So now that's just a relativity thing. Gordon is very, very fast. Would have scored that eight out of 10 times, I'll bet. But that, you know, Thornton just happens to be super fast. So no big deal there. Let's get out of here and we'll turn it over to some Q&A for the YouTube folks here in a minute. But let's get out of here for the podcast. Condensed week, shortened week, EJ's on the road or in the air, whatever the heck he's doing. So we're going to actually skip Bears Over Beers this week, give us a little break. We're going to take a bye week, I guess. We'll put it that way. Maybe use this game film and the game film coming up in Dallas to, you know, talk about both of those games in the next week or something like that. Maybe let's pick a player and watch them in both games so that we get coverage in this one. Cause there's a lot of good stuff in this one, but we are not going to go tomorrow night again, condensed week and all that. The site, you know, condensed week on the follow-up, and then we're, you know, ramping up for the Dallas game. Anything else from you for the rest of the week?
Staying with the channel, the YouTube channel, I think Robert's still doing his live stream tonight. I know he got the All-22. He's got the All-22 secret hookup that he gets before most people. So I think he is going to go that tonight. So stick around if you guys are watching on the YouTube channel for him at 8:00. I think I'm substituting for you on Sunday on your Gambler's Den, which I'm nervous about this, to be honest with you, because I'm not a huge gambling guy. I don't play daily fantasy very often, so I'm a little nervous about this one.
All right, so I will provide you with as much of the stuff as you need, but I will turn it over to you a little bit if you want to make the bets for me this week.
Yeah.
You know, you're more than welcome to. So.
I am not very good at that. I'm not very good at that. Like I did, I don't know if I told you, but I followed your prize picks for you and Ross's, and I hit three of them. So I'm like, yeah, I made a little bit of money there. So as long as I can stay profitable, and then as far as my actual picks goes, I'm having a pretty bad year on Tally site. So I don't want to mess around and mess up your record. So you make the picks, I'll call them out, and we'll be good.
Tally site, I'm okay. I think I'm ranked like 100 out of 400 people or whatever. But I'm not doing, because I'm trying to pick everything just to like fill up the sheet for us on the
site. But you're profitable on that though, right?
I don't think I am, actually. I went back and looked at it. I think I'm a little under. I think my record's positive, but I'm not staying ahead of the vig enough, right? So it is what it is. It's not bad, but it's I'm trying to pick everything, and that's, I would never bet everything, right?
Never. Yeah.
And that's the whole point of the Gambler's Den, is that you're picking the lines that you like the best. I've been profitable on that every, you know, almost every week. I think this week I was down a half of a unit. That's fine. You know, like I was profitable on the Thursday night game and the Monday night game, which I didn't capture there. So in personally, I did okay, but you know, on the Sunday games, I was like down a half a unit, which isn't a big deal. Most every other week I've been profitable. We've been doing really good on the prize picks. Ross hit 5 out of 5 last week. So that was really big. And then I've only had one week that I haven't been profitable on prize pick stuff. So that's been nice for us too. So yeah, check us out. You'll get to pinch hit this weekend. I'll give
Sunday
you
some morning at 10 a.m. That's a real fun show. It's a YouTube exclusive. So we don't do a podcast for that. So,
right.
So you guys make sure you check us out on secondcitygridiron.com, obviously. And, 10 a.m. every Sunday. You know, it's usually JB, Ross, and Eric Smith from the QB list. They kind of do their thing, but this week it's going to be me trying to get things figured out there.
Awesome. Well, we'll get out of here, and again, we'll stick around for the YouTube guys. But until next time, guys, enjoy this victory. This is a nice one, and bear down.